but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When Jesus spoke these last words, it seems unlikely that his disciples had any idea of what this commission would look like. Who would have guessed that they would speak in many different languages in a moment? That thousands would come to faith in a single day? That healings would lead to trials and persecutions? That some would die untimely deaths? That the greatest persecutor would become the greatest evangelist? That Gentiles, non-Jews, would come to faith? And that imprisonment would mean opportunity? Today, we enter the last chapter in our journey through Acts. Paul has been falsely accused and placed on trial. He is passed from one ruler to another, and finally, he appeals to Caesar. Paul knows that his own people will condemn him, but he might just stand a chance if he is able to have his case brought before Caesar, before the Supreme Court. He appeals to Caesar, and the rulers have no option but to send him to Caesar, to Rome. Paul is sent to Rome, and as you might expect, he has an adventure along the way. His boat is shipwrecked, and he lands ashore in Malta. The people are amazed with Paul, and they think he's a god. He cures many on the island, and the people furnish the supplies that are needed to sail to Rome. Paul finally arrives in Rome. He stays there for 2 years under the supervision of a soldier to whom he is chained. Acts doesn't provide an explanation for these 2 years, but it's likely that Paul was in Rome for these 2 years because of a backlog of cases for the court. And the rest of Paul's life isn't described in Acts either, but it's possible that Paul was later released, imprisoned, condemned, and executed. While in Rome, Paul assembles the Jewish leaders, and they are willing to listen to him. Some are convinced of the good news of Jesus, but others refuse to believe. They argue with one another, and finally they leave after Paul quotes from the prophet Isaiah, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them." Therefore, Paul says, salvation has been sent to the Gentiles. Paul's many attempts to reach his own people have largely been met with resistance. Their hearts have been hardened. They do not listen. But Acts doesn't finish with this statement. In verses 30 and 31, it says, "For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ." A terrific ending, which in fact is even more terrific. In Greek, words of emphasis are placed at the beginning or end of the sentence. And in the book of Acts, the last word is in fact unhindered. So the sentence reads, "Boldly he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, unhindered." An incredible word of hope to close an incredible book. But how could Paul preach and teach unhindered when he is bound in chains and awaiting trial? He is hindered. He can't go anywhere. People have to come to him. He has no privacy, chained by his wrist to a soldier day and night. He's not in a situation conducive to being unhindered. Or is he? Many of us have heard the term self-fulfilling prophecy. self-fulfilling prophecy is when we expect something to happen and we act in such a way as to make it happen. Paul could have looked at his situation and reasoned that nothing good could come from his time in chains, that he was just wasting time until he was able to have his case heard in court. He could have given up hope, thinking that he would never be released or that no one would hear him because of his lowly station. None of us would blame him because we sympathize with his situation. We may not be in physical chains, but we are metaphorically chained to our homes and apartments. Vacations, monumental events like graduations and weddings, in-person school, large gatherings, the list seems endless, have all been canceled or dramatically changed. Employment has been lost, businesses closed, significant issues, sometimes hidden from plain sight, like inequity and racism, have bubbled to the surface and they have rocked us. Hundreds of thousands of people have died. Devastating fires have forced our loved ones to flee their homes. I have often wondered when enough will finally be enough. It seemed like the other shoe dropped a long time ago. When will this terrible year end? There is much to process and much to mourn. I'm not unaffected by this, nor are you. There are many tears to be shed over the devastation of life, health, relationships, the earth, the brokenness all creation is experiencing. Mourning has been an appropriate response, and it continues to be. But it's not the only response. It's tempting to wish this year away, to start over, to bring on the pumpkin spice latte because we need to hurry this year along. It's tempting to believe that nothing good could come from this year and to despair, to waste time away and remain immobilized in our homes and apartments. If you've remained in this depressed state for more than 2 weeks, you find yourself crying often, you're unable to get out of bed, that which brought you joy no longer does, I strongly encourage you to seek a counselor. Counselors are in need more during this time than they have been in a long time. In San Jose, we have a center called the Christian Counseling Center, and we as pastors highly recommend them to you. If you are in this place, you are not alone. From personal experience, I can tell you how much comfort and help I received from counselors and from close friends, from opening myself up to that healing and honesty. It can be life-saving. If you're not in this place, you have a different invitation. Oswald Chambers, in My Utmost for His Highest, wrote a devotion entitled The Holy Suffering of the Saint. In this devotion, he wrote, "No saint should ever dare to interfere with the lesson of suffering being taught in the life of another saint. If we accept the sympathy of another saint, our spontaneous feeling is, God is dealing too harshly with me and making my life too difficult." Perhaps in your desire to console and to care for others, you sympathize with them, but you never move beyond that sympathy. Now, it's a great gift to be understood in your pain and to have someone sit with you in your pain. But if there is no eventual movement beyond that pain, we are missing the invitation. As Christians, we are people who seek the movement, the invitation of the Holy Spirit. Where is God in this pain? What is my invitation because of this pain? We know from Scripture that God is not absent. So where is he in this? In a recent conversation with an aunt, we shared the experiences that have shaped us since we last saw one another. Of course, we had a lot to catch up on since it had been a year. I shared with her about our miscarriage and how my body took a long time to recover. I ended up saying something out loud that I had never told anyone before. I told her that though I would never wish to experience this again, nor wish anyone to experience this, I wouldn't take back the experience. I've been changed by it. My character has been shaped, and I've become a better person because of it. I remembered the incredible intimacy and closeness of God's presence that I had been longing and praying for. And only after my miscarriage was I open to receiving that closeness and intimacy. What I didn't share with her, however, because we weren't yet ready, is that I'm pregnant. Somehow, in the midst of all of the chaos going on in the world around us, my body started functioning as it never has before. Without medication or treatment, we got pregnant, and it's a boy. Sometimes our perceived hindrances are not hindrances at all, but invitations. Invitations to go deeper, to know ourselves, warts and all, to recognize our incredible need for God and for one another, to be honest in our relationships, to love our families and neighbors, to understand and care for those who are on the margins, to place ourselves in a humble position of learning and service. As Chambers wrote, God places his saints where they will bring the most glory to him, and we are totally incapable of judging where that may be. God places his saints where they will bring the most glory to him, and we are totally incapable of judging where that may be. The pain, the chains you are experiencing, is an invitation. Where is God in this? For Paul, God was not absent. God was with him in his chains. The Spirit empowered him to boldly preach and teach unhindered. The Spirit brought people to him from the ends of the earth and opened their hearts to the gospel. Who knows how many of his guards came to faith because of his witness? We hear that the guards were talking about him in Paul's letters, and maybe they came to faith too. And for you, God is not absent. The Spirit is with you and is speaking and moving. Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear? What chain has been hindering you that God desires to use for his glory? What is the Spirit saying? What are you going to do about it? May God be glorified to the ends of the earth, and may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, we come before you in humility, recognizing that we are so far from you. Even our greatest works, our greatest acts are like filthy rags. And so God, we come before you recognizing that we have so much to learn about ourselves, about one another, about the world. We pray for those who are struggling with their mental health. We pray that you would bring recovery and joy. We pray for those of us who are just kind of living day by day and sometimes in bunker mentality. We pray that this experience that we now have will not be something simply to be tolerated or to be lived through, but we pray that the chains that we experience, the hindrances that we see, we pray that we would recognize the invitation that you have for us, that we would clearly hear your voice and respond in faithfulness. We thank you for Paul's example, and we pray that we would be like him, and even more so, like your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.